Hey there, listeners. Welcome to More Than a Whelan, episode 35. What a time to be alive.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome to More Than a Whelan, a podcast about creative writing written by me, but most importantly, inspired by you.
Hi there, welcome to More Than a Whelan. We are coming at you from Castaway Studios in downtown sunny Collingwood, the greatest suburb in the world. And I am chuffed as fuck to be joined by Caitlin Saunders in the studio today.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Absolute pleasure to have you back. I say back because our regular listeners would know that you've been on the show before. You were on our live show, our last live show.
Mm-hmm.
Sad is Rad at Merry Creek Tavern. Did you have a good time?
I did. Who would have known that Sad could be so fun?
Yeah,
right? It was awesome.
We're reinventing Sad.
Sad is very much Rad.
Yeah.
No, that was a good time.
It was such a brilliant night. It was one of the best nights of my life, actually. Yeah, for real. I really, really loved it.
No, there was. There was a lot of love in that room.
There was.
I definitely felt that.
You were so excellent.
Thank you.
That it just wasn't enough, Saunders. Needed more. So here you are.
That's what they all say. Yes, here I am.
And here you are in the studio, and we're going to have more of a... Because I didn't really get to chat to you on the night. You performed some poems, which were fantastic. And shout out to Jamie,
yes.
who recommended you to me.
Shout out my girl Jamie.
Yeah,
I loved her.
Who also performed some poems at Sad is Rad. So thank you to Jamie for bringing you to my attention, because I did know of you, but I wasn't that familiar with your work, and I am now, and it's
ditto. Actually,
wonderful work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I was listening to your video poem on the way here, your honest poem.
Uh-huh. I was thinking about maybe whipping that one out tonight, an updated version, considering the statistics.
Really?
Well, when you think about that poem, I talk a lot about like statistics throughout my life. Like I use a lot of numbers.
That's correct,
and so
yes.
That every time I perform that poem, I have to change it because obviously more seasons have passed and more months have passed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm another year older.
Right.
And I just edited it out the front here, actually, on the sidewalk before I walked in.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the fact that it's kind of like a live journal and updating all the time. In fact, tell me about that poem and tell me about the film clip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, actually. That's pretty cool because my videographer, Tom, he worked really, really hard on that, and he definitely deserves all the fucking credit.
A year in the making.
Yeah, a whole year. Actually, we've got another one in the making right now that's another year. But with that poem, me and Tom, we met and we hit it off like crazy. Like we became like really good friends really quickly. And he's an incredible videographer. His art is out of this world. And he also heard my art and felt the same, and so we thought we had to collaborate, and we just didn't know how. And a lot of my poems, they've always been very true in the moment, but I suppose life is ever changing, and so I would write poems about, you know, certain experiences, like let's say like one night stands or a bad night out or whatever, and those things don't really stay relevant. And so we kind of came up with an idea of a poem, my honest poem, you know, something that would always be relevant, something that's always going to be very true to me, and it doesn't matter when I read it or, you know, when it's performed, it's always going to be the same. And so, yeah, he asked me what I thought of that, and the first thing I thought of was Rudy Francisco. So he's got a My Honest Poem, and that's who the poem's after. And, yeah, he's got – it's just full of facts, really. It's ridiculous facts. Some of them are silly. The poem makes you laugh and cry, but it's just very honest. And I can imagine that every time he read it, you know, it would be very true to him.
Mm.
And so I just kind of wanted to recreate that in my own sense, and I think I did it very well. It's still probably my favourite piece. I'm very proud of that.
It is an astounding work. I'm very fond of it myself. Walk me through the process of working with a videographer.
Okay. Well, it wasn't so much of a process, more of like we were really good friends. So it was more of just kind of chatting. We had exactly the same ideas. Our vision was exactly the same. We wanted something that was just showcased me, but like his work as well. And so there's a lot of like different clips in it. Like there's one where I'm falling into a body of water, and then my body's kind of like bending, and it's just like so much visual representation, but all of the ideas that we had kind of came just from a place that like we were both just on the same page. And so we got in the car. It took us I think 2 days collectively, like all up, but they were spread out over about a year. You know, it was like half a day here, an hour or two here or whatever. But yeah, just got in the car with the camera and didn't have any plan, just kind of drove to different locations and went, you know what, this kind of looks cool, like this would work. And yeah, I've never actually worked with somebody who I vibe with so fucking well. Like,
it makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
If you've got chemistry with a collaborator.
Yeah, like it didn't feel like work at all. It was more of a collaboration. We both enjoyed it, every second of it, so much. And then also, so Tom's brother Daniel, he's, I wouldn't know the right word for it. He's a musician, a very, very good musician, but I think he performs maybe in like a symphony or an orchestra of some kind, but he also does the music behind the poems. So it's like a three-way collaboration as well. And I've only ever met him once or twice, but I'm just as appreciative for his work as well. So
yeah,
the whole process was incredible, is incredible.
It is a really beautiful piece of work.
And it's happening again.
And I'll drop a link to that in the show notes so our listeners can check that out.
Thank you.
And yes, you are working on another one at the moment,
yes,
which I've had a little sneaky peek look at. I'm not going to say anything about it.
No, we can. We can talk a little about it. Just, yeah, I'm excited to shock some people. So,
yeah, I think it's good to keep a lid on it until it's fully formed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of the ones that needs that. It needs a bit of oomph behind it, I think.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. It does.
It's pretty creepy.
And is that working with the same videographer?
Yeah,
great.
Tom and I don't think I could do anything else. Like when I think about working with another videographer, that's when it feels like work. That's when you know what I mean? I don't want to have to sit down and plan things out. I don't want to have to say it out loud.
No.
And with Tom, I don't have to, you know. He already knows what's going on in my head because he feels the same. And
yeah.
This new one took us only like I think a day and a half all up. We got all the footage together. And it's been edited and the music's been happening for a little while now, but we just want to get it right. And
well, you've streamlined your work process if you've taken it down from a year to a day and a half. That's good.
Well, I mean, like all up, it's still taking pretty long, but
right,
filming it wasn't, yeah.
Yeah.
And I have so many retakes on the audio. Like just never, ever fucking happy with my audio. But that's all right. I'm on a podcast. Hopefully we'll work on that.
yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is like exercising that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Look, take me on a little journey in the Wayback Machine to when poetry first infects the mind of Caitlin Saunders.
I never look back there. This is
whoa.
Interesting.
Okay.
I don't remember a time when I actually started writing poems. I just remember I was young and the only thing that would fuel my poetry was poems that I'd already written. Like I don't – like we mentioned earlier that the most awkward thing about like doing something is beginning, you know what I mean? Like just starting off, sometimes it can be awkward and tough.
Absolutely.
But and I think I don't actually remember starting. I just remember I used to have this little red silk box as a kid and it would have all these folded up pieces of paper in it and they were all just different poems. And every time I wanted to write a poem, I would go back to that and read some stuff that I'd written and write some more. And it kind of evolved into something really cool. But when I was young, I ran away from home and caught a plane to North Queensland by myself. I lived there for about 11 months.
Really?
And, yeah,
how old were you?
15.
Oh
I came
my
back
God.
When I was 16.
You
yeah.
little rebel.
I know. My parents didn't know where I was. It was a 24-hour drive from where my dad was to where I was.
Hang on. Pause for a second there. How did you get on a plane at 15 just on a whim?
Yeah, so I was – there was another person, another bloke, we won't mention his name, that I was running away with, I suppose you could say, at the time. And we just thought that we were big and bad. And I actually got a dependency payment from Centrelink. So I'd already signed up to Centrelink through my dad, and so he was getting paid for me, but I could apply for like an emergency payment.
Right.
And so I did that. And yeah, the guy that I was with at the time, we weren't together. We were just friends and thought we were both homeless. Like, we both had this mindset that we were homeless, but truly we just didn't want to go home. Just young rebels. And yeah, so his parents actually helped us book the flights, and we just went to Mackay because it's where his dad's brother lived. And then yeah, he disappeared after like a week and I was on my own. So,
wow.
Yeah. But on the way there, I left a lot of my stuff. Obviously, it wouldn't all fit on the fucking cargo part of the plane. So I left a lot of my stuff in a caravan in Kempsey in mid-north coast of New South Wales. And that little silk box was one of those things, and I've never seen it again.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was a good 4 or 5 years there where I didn't consider myself a poet or a writer. I didn't write anything. I didn't have anything to go off. I don't remember any of those poems. I don't remember any of the concepts of any of those poems. Mm. And, yeah, one day I thought about the box and I just thought, fuck it, I'm going to try and write something. And I did, and it all just kind of came flooding back, and I started again. And then I had other things to go off, and it just never stopped. And I think I was 17 when that happened. So.
That's a pretty good origin story of poetry.
Yeah, 17, 18.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a little bit true romance, like hitting the road, a couple of rebels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then discovering poetry at the end of it. Love
performing
it.
Was a whole different scenario though. Like,
yes.
Like performing is, yeah, that was sharing my poems. That's a whole different step.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it.
Oh, gosh. I used to read like my sit in like a garage with one of my friends and just smoke weed and read poetry all the time. And then one day she was like, somebody needs to hear this. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And I found an open mic and I performed it. And I cried the whole time, 3 minutes on stage. I just cried. Like, I was,
really?
Yeah, reading my poetry through tears, like bawling my eyes out. It was a room full of like old white man poets, you know what I mean? Like, they were having none of my, like, I think it was a poem about falling in love with a girl, like always thinking that I was going to, you know, fall in love with a boy and then falling in love with a girl that broke my heart. And so I'm reading this poem to poets that weren't relating at all. And at the end, there was this one girl that came up to me and she was like, I know that was really hard for you, but like, I felt that. And I was like, okay, maybe I can do this. And then a friend of mine was like, I was a bit pretentious at the time, you know. I did one open mic and I was like, I'm a spoken word poet, like thinking I was something. And a friend of mine was like, all right, well then I'll put you on a gig. He had shout out Civilian. He had an enterprise called Savvy Entertainment and put me on a gig, and I did a 20-minute set. Sucked, absolutely sucked, but thanks anyway for that. And yeah.
Why do you think it sucked?
Oh, no, I wasn't a spoken word poet, and I thought I was, you know what I mean? Like, none of my poetry was written for performance.
Mm.
Does that, I know you know what I mean. Like, you write a poem sometimes that's never supposed to be read out loud.
Sure.
Like, it's made for pen and paper.
Yeah.
And then you write another, like, you might alter that poem one day to suit the performance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, put some more oomph behind it.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of just reading like monotone blankly out of my journal for a 20-minute set.
Yeah.
Like, it sucked. It really did. Yeah. But I did it. I got through it. And
delivery is a very important part of speaking poems, obviously. But I don't know. I feel like that you can do it with almost any poem, actually. I think delivery is the most important part more than the actual poem.
Yeah, well, back then I didn't know that. That's what I mean. I'm just reading monotone.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't alter anything. There was no oomph. There was, I mean, I'm sure it was great.
I'm sure it was.
I'm sure it was great. Whatever. My mum came. My mum said it was great.
Oh, well, there you go. That's the only good review you need, really.
That's it.
Yeah.
My mum always said I could talk a fish into drowning, if that helps.
There's no fish tanks in here, is
there?
No,
but I probably wasn't the best guest.
There is a disco ball in the studio now, though, which I'm pretty impressed by. Thank you. Shout out to Derek, my producer. Every time I come into the studio, something new has happened, something new and wonderful. And so you must have enjoyed it once you got onto a stage, obviously.
Yeah. There was definitely like it ignited something. I mean, I sucked, but it ignited something. And I was living on the Central Coast just north of Sydney at the time. And so there was a venue there called The Lounge Room, and it was the only venue that did poetry on the Central Coast, and they did it like once a month or whatever. And Zohab Khan, who was the Australian Poetry Slam champion a few years back, performed at The Lounge Room, and that was like it's called Speak Up, so that was like an open mic sector, and then they had your feature poet, you know, bullshit, same thing everywhere. And that was my first time there, and Zohab, he had no books left. I wanted to buy one of his books, and then the next day we met up for coffee so that I could buy one of his books, and I didn't stop going to The Lounge Room since that day. Like, The Lounge Room just became my home. I did like an artist development course there, and never stopped. That was just amazing. I had like a showcase and then built all the way up to now.
And you put your poems down on Instagram or little snippets of them?
Trying to.
Yeah.
Trying to build a bit of an Insta following.
And you work to a similar process as More Than a Whelan, in that you like working to prompts, is that correct?
I do, very much so.
How does that work for you?
So it's all started when I lost all my poetry to iCloud. So 10 months worth of my poetry went down the iCloud drain. And I say that with a smile on my face now, but it's very, very difficult. And one of the only ways of pulling myself out of that was to write, like, just not be so hard on myself, because I've always been the type of person to, you know, write two or three lines and look at it as not a completed piece, because you know what I mean? Like, to me, like, one or two pages is a completed piece. But I started thinking, you know, maybe just a little bits at a time. Like, don't be so hard on yourself. Like, you can keep writing, you know what I mean? You can get through this. And so it just started as one-liners.
Yeah, look, I don't want to get too hippy-dippy about it, but those poems that you lost, and when you told me that story, I thought, wow, I can really empathise with the trauma of that. But you haven't really lost them, because they're like part of your DNA, of your fucking creative spirit, really.
You're not wrong.
Just like that little box of poems you left in that little town. That is part of the journey of writing. It's still part of you, even though they're not physically there anymore.
That's it. Yeah. And I think that's what was so hard to come to terms with. You know what I mean? That, like, they are still there. They're just not tangible. They're not like, I can't edit them. I can't look at them or read them, but they are still there. And that's why I think I can say it now with a smile on my face, because I do now understand that. But when it first happened, like, my God, I was under.
Did you have a meltdown?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I think I would have too.
I didn't do anything. I didn't cook dinner. I didn't wash my clothes. I didn't get out of bed. I was a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything I did, I cried. It was so bad. And it was, and a lot of people didn't understand. They were like, oh, okay. Like, you lost your poetry to iCloud. Like, cool. I was like, what do you
guys? You're like, fuck you.
I'm like, I pretty much, like, my pet might as well have died. You know what I mean? Like, it was so traumatic. And I had to grieve that. Mm. I really did. I had to grieve it like it was a person.
I totally understand that.
Mm.
But that was just a mountain you had to climb up to get to where you are now.
And that's where the prompts came from.
That's in your rearview mirror, and you don't look back. That's what you told me.
Mm-hmm. Try not to.
Try not to. Speaking of poems, how'd you like to lay one down on us?
Sure.
Yeah?
Should I start with my honest poem? Would you like?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sure. I like to think of my honest poem as a bit of an introduction. So I use it at gigs, you know, to open and let people know who I am.
An intro to Caitlin Saunders.
Yes.
Yes. Dig it.
All right. My honest poem. I was born on the 75th day of autumn, just 17 days before winter and about 30 or 40 years ahead of my time. My parents named me Caitlin. In Irish, it translates to pure. I'm not sure that they knew that then. I've so far survived 23 Earth years, and according to statistics, I should experience roughly 65 more. That is, of course, assuming I'm not met with an expiration date. An early suffering. All I know for sure is that I myself have circled the sun now 23 times, and I'm still alive. I've watched as this Earth has hosted and bent with all 92 seasons of my life, and trust me when I say I've bent too. I'm a natural blonde. I was a tiny little blue-eyed firecracker with no room for apology and no patience for wasted time. always miss sit still, child. Always on the edge of my seat, eager to take on recess with both feet. I was generous, child. Growing up, I had 6 imaginary friends. We still keep in touch. Most of my pen pals don't have letterboxes, but all of my letters still have stamps. Now I wonder what they're up to when I'm not around to write them. Once, as a kid, I had a dream that I could fly, and since we're being honest, I still try. Not much has changed. I still can't sit still. I'm still taking risks. I try to be good and kind, but I'm a product of the society in which I was raised, and so that doesn't always go to plan. I was raised in a hurricane home, a loud place. I'm half my mother, half my father, and all of the stories that I've stolen from strangers. I have friends on the moon. I mean, I have friends in my heart, which is to say that my heart is as big as the moon. I cry when I'm happy, or when I'm anxious, or when my friends succeed, but barely ever when I'm sad. I'm not blonde anymore. I wear tattoos and write poems for people that I'll probably never get the chance to apologize to, and that shit burns. But I read somewhere once that it's better to be living and fully ablaze than to have never burnt at all. I can't decide what my favorite book is, which leaves me hopeful that it's yet to be written. I don't have a favorite song. I don't have a plan either. This place isn't linear, but I'm here. 276 months and counting, to say the least. I'm excited.
Yes, thank you thank you so much. Brilliant, brilliant. Two of my favourite lines in that poem are, I'm paraphrasing now, about 6 imaginary friends and we still keep in touch.
That's true. That's 100% the truth.
Yeah. Could you walk me through those 6 imaginary friends?
Yeah, so, my mum's going to listen to this. No, I genuinely can't. But that's the truth. When I was young, I used to be a very lonely kid. And I did. I had a lot of imaginary friends, a lot of spirits, I suppose you could say. I was very in touch with family heritage and things like that. And it was pretty creepy as a kid. But
right.
Yeah. When I say we still keep in touch, I mean that's kind of what I revert back to when I'm down on myself.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I like to go back to and have conversations with the old me.
Yeah.
That's what I mean when I say we still keep in touch. Like, I obviously don't still play with my imaginary friends,
Well, not that there'd be anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
I had an imaginary friend who rode us a surfboard outside the window of the car when we would drive around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. I can
like
understand
flying
that.
Through, yeah.
Yeah, I can understand. That's so cool.
I would just stare out the window and he'd be on this surfboard and he'd be flying and he'd fly at the top of a faraway building and then whoosh back down to alongside the car. I can still see it quite vividly, although I hadn't thought of that in many, many years.
That's awesome. I used to have an imaginary friend that was only ever with me in the car seat. So when I was driving in the car seat, I can tell you a story actually. So when I was young, I was driving in the car seat and I still remember this very vividly. I told my dad and I started screaming at him. I was like, "Dad, Lacey's pulling my hair." And he was like, "What? What the fuck?" And I was like, "Lacey's hurting me. She's pulling my hair." And I was so angry.
Yeah.
And my dad was fed up, but like thought the only way that he could, I suppose, cut it out was to play along with my fantasy. And so he pulled the car over and he opened the side door of the back and he said, "Lacey, get out." And this was on the side of the freeway, like we're in like one of those little phone emergency sections, you know what I mean? So he's put him in, "Lacey, get out." And so we drive off and I start having a proper anxiety attack because my dad's just left my imaginary friend on the side of the freeway. I'm like, "How's Lacey going to get home? Who do you think you are?
Yeah, outrageous.
And that was one of the first anxiety attacks that I fully remember. I was ripping at my own hair. I was like, yeah, it was insane.
Wow. Mm. I mean, respect to your dad for, like, just following the fantasy.
Yeah,
like,
he thought that was the only thing
thinking on
that
his feet,
do,
you
yeah.
know, but then,
his
yeah.
wife at the time was in the car with him and, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy shit. Crazy shit. I was so young. I mean, like, and now that I think about it, like, I wasn't that young. I just had a very vivid imagination.
Right.
You know what I mean?
This was like last week.
Yeah. I think I was like maybe 7. You know what I mean? Like I was like a kid, but.
Right, yeah.
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 Yeah. I just had a very vivid imagination. It was insane.
Bless. And you still do now. That's the fire in the belly, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I like to believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to keep in touch with it.
Yeah.
Keep in touch with the imaginary friends, you see.
Boom. I think I got sidetracked. I did ask you before about you writing to prompts.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you receive those prompts? Do you call outs mm-hmm. or do you just?
So I do it the Instagram story just on there with their questions.
Yes. Yeah.
Option. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just put a story up, just say, give me a favorite. I like to do it with people's favorite words. So not just any, like, give me a poetry writing prompt. I just say, what's your favorite word? Let me turn it into a poem. Because I like to think, people's favorite words are usually really beautiful. You know what I mean? Like you usually get some really like really tranquil like words, like really like, I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
Like my partner, I remember I put up like, tell me your favorite word. My partner, he wrote the word Waldosia, and it's not that it's, yeah. So it's one of those top 10 beautiful words that describe emotion. And so Waldosia is the feeling of being somewhere and searching for somebody's face in like in a crowd, but you already know subconsciously for certain that they're not there, but you miss them so much that like you look for them in everything. And so that's called Waldosia. Like,
that's fascinating.
Yeah, tell me about it, right? And so like things like that, I find that people's favorite words. And so what I did, I looked up the definition of that, and because I couldn't write to it, I felt dishonest writing to a word that I'd only just learnt the meaning. So what I did was I took the definition and I edited it into a poem. So the poem is in definition form. And, but yeah, I just really like that. And I like learning new words.
I love that. I've just learned a new word.
I know.
I did not know of its existence before today. What's one of my favorite words? Let me think. I do like the word loquacious, but I, could you Google that for me, Derek? I've forgotten. It's about the way something sounds.
Okay.
And it is a very beautiful sounding word.
Yeah, yep.
Tending to talk a great deal, talkative.
Hello, can relate.
Look, that wasn't an accusation, all right?
I feel personally attacked right now. What is this?
That's right. Of course it is. Loquacious. What a beautiful, it feels nice in my mouth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it tattooed.
Yeah.
On my forehead. Just a PSA, like a warning.
Yeah, yeah.
Do not engage in conversation. I will not shut the fuck up.
Warning, loquacious ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some other favourite words. I don't know. I can't think right now. Scrimshaw. Scrimshaw. That's Derek's favourite word, apparently. Scrimshaw is a material. No, what is it? I don't know what it is. Yes, I do know what that is. It's artwork created by whalers, traditionally in bone or ivory.
Mm.
That's pretty niche,
savage.
Isn't it? Yeah.
That smile, though. Too funny.
It's funny when you think of whalers of the past, like, oh, yeah, you don't feel bad about them, but whalers now, fuck them.
Yeah, no, barely people. I don't know. I can't talk. I can't talk. I can't have an opinion, really, can I?
What? Of course you can have opinions. Yeah,
it's like somebody asked me the other day, like, how do you feel about hunting? And I was like, I eat steak. I don't think I can have an opinion.
Right, because, we're all hypocrites in a way.
Exactly.
But I feel like that should not stymie you having an opinion about
such
things.
No, I mean, I do have an opinion. I just feel like voicing it would be a bit hypocritical, I suppose.
But that's fine. when you accept that everyone's a hypocrite, it's fine.
Mm.
Because we all are, really. No one can live a life of utter purity unless you're like living off the grid, you know, out of the system, because the system is so inherently corrupt, and everything you do every day. Everything you buy is hurting somebody else.
Exactly. Or something else. Yeah, to revisit a line in that poem there where I say, I try to be good and kind, but I'm raised in a society in which, no, I'm a product of the society in which I was raised. So that doesn't always go to plan.
Yeah.
You can't help it sometimes.
Let's get back to the prompt thing. Do you have some examples of that?
Yeah, sure. I can read the Waldosia one just to
get great. Guess,
yeah.
Yes, perfect.
So Waldosia, it's a noun. A condition characterized by missing you so fucking much that I can't even spend a single day in another city hundreds of kilometers away without searching crowds for your fucking smile.
Ah, perfect.
Yeah. See, very simple.
I love that.
When I don't
that.
Know how to do it, I'll just read redefine the word in my own terms.
Right. You know what I'm saying. That would make a great chapbook of redefined words, like a dictionary of Saunders.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. There's a God now put me on the spot. I can't remember for the life of me the designer. But there's a fashion designer that does t-shirts like that and it's all redefined words.
Right.
I used to have one with the word smile, but I can't remember what it was. Mm. No, you've put me on the spot now. I don't know.
All right.
I've got some prompts.
Hit me.
All right. This first one is I won't shout out because it's all Instagram names and people are weird with their Instagram names. This one's called Shenanigans. What do you say? Should we run amok for old time's sake? Take to the roof of this abandoned skate rink and sing the world to insanity? I wonder if Passion Pop is still as cheap as I remember. Just watch our little sisters don't follow. Instagram. Oh, okay. So I have one smartass. When I do my prompts, I have one smartass that likes to hit me with a really challenging word. The first word he did was perpendicular. Mm-hmm. He wanted me to write a poem out of the word perpendicular. The next one was lozenge, like a throat lozenge. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see why one word would be more challenging than another, though.
Oh, he does it on purpose.
Right.
He'll find something. Yeah. And he's a poet himself.
Yeah.
So he knows exactly what he's doing. Yeah. Like I can write most of these prompts I can write to in 4 or 5 minutes and he'll give me one that I'm sitting there for 12 hours scratching my head going, I hate you. Like you're the worst. He knows exactly.
Yeah.
And he knows my style of writing too. Yeah. So he'll go left
that
of field.
That is a friend who pushes you.
Exactly.
Yes.
So this is Lozenge. I killed this one, I reckon. Everyone remembers their first concert. The merch stand, the makeup, the music. I'll never forget mine. I mean, the name was just a metaphor, but it really was a circus under the stars. And I played the mime. 4'5", stuck in a 6-foot mosh pit, imitating the best way I knew how, screaming all the lyrics back in the direction of the speakers, and the walk home, the come down, praying to a god I don't believe in for stupid shit like a throat lozenge and a rewind button.
Yes, I love that. Thank you.
I'll go one more.
Sure.
This one's called Empowerment.
We're here all night.
This is my friend Paris. We're talking fish into drowning. Shout out Paris because she gives me some really good prompts. So this is Empowerment. Yeah, fuck it, I'll read it. I will.
I'm on the edge of my seat
my goodness,
here.
Yeah, I was born to a long line of witchcraft women. Women who aren't afraid of owning their own bodies. Women who bleed and dance and moan in ways that reinvent the idea of feminism. Who don't hide their vibrators and feel comfortable in lingerie. Women who would always rather a conversation full of wit but still revel in the thought of grazed knees and running mascara. Women like my mother, whose love language is the loudest I know.
Ah. That was sensational. I
Thank
love
you.
That.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's really beautiful.
Sean, give us some prompts. Go. I want to hear some of yours.
No, hang on. last time I checked, I was running the show here, but
I really want to hear your prompts.
It's coming. But that poem sparked a question in my mind.
Okay.
Let's talk about the F word.
Okay.
Feminism.
Yeah, okay. I thought you were talking about me swearing too much.
I am the last person who's going to discipline someone about swearing too much. Believe me. Now, let's talk about feminism as a word these days in your circles.
Okay.
What does it mean? Is it have negative connotations, positive connotations? I'm interested.
I'm not a feminist, not in the sense that I think, not in the sense that I will, I think feminism's turned into something pretentious, a bit ugly, a bit... it's not about equality anymore.
But has it? Or has it people's perceptions of it?
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, let's start on that. People's perception of it is... The stereotype around a feminist is someone who's going to push their views down your throat, and I think that's not healthy. I wish it wasn't that way, but when you talk in society these days about a feminist, people's first perception of it is somebody who's not fighting for a bit more than equality. You know what I mean? Trying to put women above the societal standard, and I just don't agree with the way that it's being perceived. So I won't proudly call myself a feminist because I don't want to wear that badge. I don't want to wear the I sound so like against women here, and I'm.
No.
I'm not against my own kind.
I know you're not. I think that you are a feminist, whether you want that label or not. It troubles me that it is a. It troubles me a lot that it's an unwanted label.
I don't
think it needs to be.
I think the same. I feel exactly the same. Mm. I feel exactly the same. Mm. I think it's people hesitate to wear that badge, and I think. And that sucks.
Mm.
And I do too, for the exact same reasons. I don't like the way that it's being perceived. Like I said, it's not about equality anymore. It's gone further. This is a very deep topic.
Yeah, mm. yeah. Sorry to throw you in the F hole like that.
No, and that's why I think I like to believe that, yeah, the women in my life do reinvent the word feminism, you know what I mean? Like turn it...
Yeah, yeah.
Just owning your own body, just being comfortable in who you are,
mm.
catching the 86 confidently. There's something in that, I think, that's pretty powerful and pretty feminist without having to say, like, wear a T-shirt that says, like, I am a feminist. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I think,
But everyone's got their own jam.
Yeah, you know? 100%. And yeah. I'm not gonna slam the next person for the way that they fight for rights or the way that, you know, they feel comfortable in their own skin, but...
Yeah.
It's so tough. It's really tough. The conversation definitely needs to be had.
But you're a very strong, confident, powerful woman.
Thank you.
And I think that makes you a feminist in itself. Yeah. You're repping your sex in very magnificent ways.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to think there's a bit of truth behind it. Kind of leading, I suppose. I don't know how to say it.
You don't need to.
Just putting it out there for other people to relate to. I think.
That's really important to me. Just living the best life you can.
Yeah, really
is all you need to do. And be kind along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see you doing.
Thank you.
Okay, so maybe I should read a poem.
Yes,
what do you think?
Please.
All right.
I want to run the show now.
All right. Caitlin's in charge.
More than Saunders. Let's get this show on the road. Welcome, guys. joining me tonight.
Thanks for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Sean. Thank you. Episode one, first time I've ever done this.
You're doing a great job.
Oh, hit us. Hit us in the face with your poems.
Okay, so, all right, so now I as per Caitlin's instruction, I'm going to read a poem now that is inspired by my muses of the week.
Wow.
No, we're not doing wow yet. You're getting ahead of yourself.
Wow.
So my muses of the week, I'll read out the prompts that I've responded to. One of them is Frost Fractals by my friend Kim Jeffs. One of them is Interstellar Elephants.
Love it.
By Cameron Simmons, a previous guest on our show. And one of them is from the aforementioned Liana, Macca's Makeup Remover.
Oh,
yeah.
He didn't send me that one.
Yeah, no, because I was keeping it for myself.
But it's Jamie's. Oh, I'm really sorry, Jamie. I'm really sorry. I would have smashed this one.
Well, you still can. I'll give you 5 minutes.
Maccas and makeup. Oh.
Okay, so.
I'll give you 5 minutes.
All right. Pay attention.
I'm in.
Just under the lip of a freeway overpass on EastLink, there resides a catalogue spirit ghost. Catalogue spirit ghost, or catagods, as they are referred to in the biz, place themselves in high traffic areas for humans, and they watch and catalogue their daily toils. And at the end of the day, they collect their notes and report back to their superior by riding an interstellar elephant back to an undisclosed location. This particular catagod has a name unpronounceable by the human tongue, so we'll just call him Ralph. Ralph has the power of knowing every single moment of a person's life with just one glance into their eyes. He records their struggles into a tiny star, and once his bag is full of stars, he knocks off for the day. On this day, an automobile passes by that catches his eye, and he catches her eye right within the diamond of his mind. She's getting by as well as she can. She has been destroyed, but now she is rebuilding. Heavy scaffolding surrounds the construction site of her soul, but behind the scaffolding, something remarkable is happening. There is an ocean of love in her heart. This ocean is always there. It replenishes itself on a daily basis. Love is her preferred method of communication. Love of friends, love of family, love of words, love of speech. She photographs the sky daily as a form of meditation. In the sky, there is everything and nothing. She shares the sky. She is generous with her findings. Sometimes when the sky falls, she falls too in solidarity with its descent. And the night turns blue and pink and purple. And she swims through the colours like an Esther Williams bath bomb. And when she comes up for air, the colours are gone. That's the price the night takes from you sometimes. The ferryman always demands a fee. And in the morning, all that's left on the shore of her bed covers is a crumpled empty bag of Macca's and a makeup remover she forgot to apply before she fell asleep. And she yawns and stretches, and she steps from the bed naked to draw the curtains apart, and fractal frost covers the leaves of the trees as punctuation marks. And the light of the day pours into her like orange juice into a glass. And she turns and looks for her camera. Ralph, the catagod, pauses and reflects upon the life contained in the star within his palm, and he says to himself, "This will do." And he whistles for his interstellar elephant that dutifully appears for the long ride back to an undisclosed location to report this very important news to his superior.
Oh my goodness. Woo! That was insane.
Thank you. Thank you. And many, many thanks to Kim and Cameron and Jamie.
That was awesome. I didn't actually expect you to put them into one piece. That's talent. That's really cool.
Oh, shucks. Get out of here.
Really cool. Oh.
Thank you.
And you did Jamie justice. That was really cool. That was that was awesome.
So, that was that. And now it's time for Wheelin' and Stealin'. This is the section of the show where we are, me and my guest, that's you, Caitlin, we perform a piece of work by somebody else, like a cover poem.
Okay.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. What do you got?
Yeah. Oh, I go first.
You go first.
Because I had because it's my show.
It's your show. That's right.
Oh my goodness. All right. So Sabrina Benaim.
Great.
Is my inspiration. My my love of poetry stemmed mostly from watching Sabrina poems online. And she came to Australia last year in May, and I was lucky enough to tour with her and meet her and read poetry with her and share.
That must have been such a blast.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It really was. Yeah. It really was. Love her. Love, love, love her. She went from being my idol to my friend in 24 hours, and that's like that felt like a dream, you know what I mean? I totally kind of off topic, but my partner said to me before I met her, he was like, be careful, like don't get your hopes up, because most people when they meet their idol, it's, you know what I mean, it's not what they what,
that's
not
true
what
that is very
be.
True yeah
and I said to him, I said, I really 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 don't care what she's like as long as she's not a vegan. That was like,
harsh.
Are you serious? I was like, if I can't eat a beef burger with her, like if I can't, you know what I mean, like just go in like just enjoy your burger, like then I might be upset. Other than that, she could be anything. Like, she could be anything.
Look, Caitlin, you're tapping into the cliche of I know lots of vegans and you can eat a burger with them. They're fine. They're just doing their own thing.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. But, yeah, so she's incredible. She's it was awesome. It was really, really cool to hang out with her. And we got, like, matching tattoos and, like, went and checked out, like, the Alice in Wonderland exhibit at Fed Square and stuff. It was really awesome.
Did you learn a lot from being on tour with her and watching her.
Yeah. And not only that, like I picked her brain a lot as well, you know, we went for drinks and I just probably annoyed the crap out of her with my talking, but I picked her brain and I learned a lot about her, like her writing techniques, and we actually share very similar writing techniques, and yeah, just about like how we come up with concepts and nerves before performing and things like that. And yeah, I'm 50 times better performer after meeting and performing with Sabrina.
Well, shout out to Sabrina. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what work of hers would you like?
This is called First Date.
Great.
And it's pretty self-explanatory, but abstract. But here goes nothing. Hello. When I say hello, I mean thank you. When I say thank you, I mean I adore you. And when I say I adore you, I mean I'll check your horoscope. I mean, when you leave the balloons that you carry in your laughter behind on my ceiling, well, I like them better than flowers. My body is a garden rooted in gratitude. Thank you is the biggest poem I've got inside of me. Me? I'm a campfire cold hearts like to sit around and roast their marshmallows in, but when I say campfire, I mean tiny furnace, little light lady. I mean, I am not the path of least resistance, but I swear I was struck by lightning, bam, boom, wow, this one time at Coachella when Jay-Z bought out Beyonce. I mean, I am flawless. Procrastinator. My heart is a messy bedroom I always distract myself from cleaning. I digress. When I say Beyonce came out, I mean fireworks went off and I cried. And when I say I cried, I mean I taught the clouds how to cry for me. Dig. I wouldn't say I'm sensitive. I'd say I'm highly susceptible to feeling a lot, and sometimes there just ain't enough rocks, Forrest Gump. When I say my feelings are a box of chocolates, I mean I like to eat them. I also like to get high enough to look myself in the third eye. When I say I like to get high, I mean sometimes after I shower, I thank the towel. Snap, crackle, or pop? Me? Pop. I mean, I've got this violent tendency to see a bubble and want to pop it, which is to say I've held love. But I popped it and locked it and then dropped it and lost it. I didn't mind. Love made me feel like I knew the answer, but when I raised my hand, I was the only one in the room. What I mean is, have you ever felt the ache of swallowing starlight? That cinnamon heartburn? What I mean is, his name is a plate set at the table of my tongue because I learn love like wait for it. If I called the last person you said I love you to, could they tell me they felt it? Can you feel this? I'm allergic to liars. They cause my tongue to swell and sharpen, bullet flesh tongue. What I mean is my kiss tastes like a shotgun to the lips. You'll like it. It'll make you feel brave. My first crush was on Benny the Jet Rodriguez. That boy ran so fast he could fly by foot. If I were an animal, I'd be a hummingbird. But when I say I'm a hummingbird, I mean sometimes my hands forget how to hold. Become two teacups in an earthquake, I am a rattle of splintered bones. When I say my body, I mean blunt guts and then some. My body's instincts are miraculous. I spent an entire year sleeping on a bed of swords and was not cut once. What I mean is my lonely looks a lot like insomnia when you hold it up to the light. What I mean is, if I came to you lonely as a grocery store parking lot at 5 a.m. blowing smoke rings, pretending they're halos, could you believe in the magic? Not beauty. Not the beast. I mean enchanted castle. My body, Space Jam. My toothy smile has ways to tell anything else than the truth, flight response. Do you ever sit on the end of the bed and listen to the world spin? I hear that song everywhere. But when I say that song, what I mean is time. Time is a holy catastrophe of heirloom clock faces that don't fit my wrists, dig. The only instrument I know how to play is my body. I like my body best when I'm not worried about how much space it's taking up. I mean dancing. When I say dancing, I mean shimmy and a shake and a womp womp drop. My body's got moves, y'all. Yeah. Like it sleeps in a waterbed. What I mean is my body sleeps in itself. I am best prepared for the worst case scenario. The best case scenario scares me. Flight response. My mother tells me I'm a bird, but when she says I'm a bird, she means the whole world is my cage. In my dreams, I can fly and there is no such thing as cage, meaning there is no such thing as time. And I've been here before. I recognize that moon. And I know there are many moons and my gratitude, it eclipses them all. So I say thank you. I say thank you, but I guess I just mean hello.
Holy shit, that was good.
Tell me about it. She's out of this world. She's out of this fucking world.
That was amazing. I've got... now, I want to read a poem by Sabrina. Can I read someone?
Yes, please. Oh, my goodness, please. Oh, my... How awesome is the title of that book, too? Depression and Other Magic Tricks.
I'll be dropping some links to this in the show notes for our listeners because it's got a quote on the back from a poet I know, Andrea Gibson.
Andrea Gibson is Sabrina's Sabrina, if that makes any sense. So the way that I see Sabrina, like the way that I view Sabrina, she was like my idol type thing, and then I got to meet her and it was like kind of a full circle scenario. So she had a similar experience with Andrea Gibson. And so when I first met Sabrina, the first thing I actually said to her was, "Hi, you're my Andrea Gibson." And it melted her. She was like, "Oh my God, I cannot believe you just said that to me."
Oh my God. Amazing. All right. Well, I'm doing something pretty boring, which is shuffling for a book. Not great.
She's crazy. Actually, one of the nights that me and Sabrina spent in Melbourne, we actually went to the Melbourne Spoken Word Poetry Festival, one of the first nights, and you performed, and Sabrina was in the crowd.
Did I?
And yes.
Yeah, was I awesome?
She was in the crowd, and she actually watched your... What's his name? Your white, the Canadian, is it a moose? The Canadian moose.
Ah, yes. What's his name? Walter.
Walter the white moose. Yes. She watched that poem and she fell in love. She thought it was amazing.
Ah, shucks. Ah, this is a big love parade, isn't it? I love it. All right. Maybe I should just like go to a random page or something here. All right, I just love the title of this.
What's it called?
Loneliest Sweet Potato.
Oh, this is our favourite.
Oh, really?
Yep, Caitlin's going to
go. Oh, I love it.
This is awesome.
All right. Loneliest Sweet Potato. I am at the grocery store because I feel sad. I feel sad because nobody's in love with me. Nobody's in love with me, but everybody loves me. Everybody loves me because I'm good at making people feel good. I'm good at making people feel good because I have had a lot of practice on myself. Practice on myself because I feel sad a lot. I feel sad a lot, but when I make people feel good, I feel good for a little bit. I feel good for a little bit until I get lonely. I get lonely and I am uncomfortable in my lonely. At the grocery store, I practice trying to make myself feel good by pretending I am a regular person. buying her groceries and not a very sad person trying to distract herself from crying. Crying gives me a headache. Headaches make me want to crawl into bed. Crawling into bed is what sad people do. What sad people do when they are lonely looks a lot like me at the grocery store.
Amen.
At the grocery store, I feel sad, but I look just like everybody else, picking out avocados or lemons. Items no one refers to as comfort food. Comfort food makes me want to crawl into bed. Crawling into bed reminds me of two things. I am sad and I am alone. I am alone in a grocery store, moving slow in a condiment aisle. In a condiment aisle, important decisions are made, and everybody knows it is perfectly acceptable to stand around for too long. Stand around for too long and I will begin to tap dance. Tap Dance Lonely in the Condiment Aisle is a great title for a book, I think, as I wait in line to reach the cashier. The cashier seems surprised when I ask her how her night is going. Her night is going okay, she says. She says nothing else except cash, credit, or debit. She waves goodbye. Goodbye is the saddest word I know. The saddest word you know is my name. My name walks around at the grocery store and feels less sad. Less sad because at the grocery store, at least nobody knows there is nobody in love with me.
Oh my goodness.
Shout out to Sabrina.
The name. You picked the best.
That's a beautiful work.
It's incredible. Such an incredible
work. What was so cute was what you know that poem so well.
I do.
That you were like lip syncing to it as I was reading it.
I was reading it to Kayla. Yeah.
Oh, my God. We should add that there is another Caitlin, because it sounds like you're referring to yourself in the third
Anyone
person.
Anyone listening to this podcast that knows me knows that Caitlin's in the room, so.
Right, yes. There's another Caitlin in the studio with us.
There is.
So when you were saying before Caitlin's going to cry, you weren't referring to yourself.
I wasn't talking to myself in third person. No, I wasn't. It would be a bit weird. anyone that knows me slightly.
Bless your heart.
Thank you.
For being here and for bringing your magic into the studio. I don't know, I just felt compelled to say that.
Thank you so much. There's a lot of love in this room.
Yes. Now we're going to close with the world of Whelan.
Wow.
Wow. I love it. I love it so much.
So this is a segment where I talk about what's happening in the world of Whelan, aka Wow. And I'm pretty excited, actually. I'm pretty pumped because I've just picked up some heavy, heavy swag from one of our generous supporters of the show, Lux Country. I've got a ton of new More Than a Whelan merch.
Mm.
I've got visors. I've got aprons.
Ah.
I've got tote bags. I've got little pencil bags.
Lovely.
So I'm going to throw photos of all this stuff on the More Than a Whelan Instagram, and I'll throw a link to the More Than a Whelan online store where you can grab some of these, and I'm going to give you some swag too just for being amazing.
Thank you. Hey, yes. I have a quick question about the merch. This T-shirt that you've recently made with the very angry patron letter on it, is that part of the More Than a Whelan merch or is that you selling that separately?
No, that's a separate thing through Redbubble.
Okay,
That you can,
legendary.
Absolutely
legendary.
It's a pretty funny story.
The note itself is it's just so.
Yeah, just a recap for listeners who may not know what the hell I'm talking about. Another hat I wear is as a DJ, and I got a very angry letter. In the form of a scrawled note on a napkin left on my windscreen because I wouldn't play Wonderwall.
Wait, you found that on your windscreen?
Yeah.
Wow, that just makes the story 50 times better.
Yeah.
Someone found your car, Sean, to put that on.
Yeah, there's a whole backstory to this. Because he'd been there previous and That's when I got him banned because he was harassing me one night because I'd already played it and he kept harassing me and he'd write it in he'd write it in large text on his phone and then hold his phone above his head and just stand in front of the DJ booth. I'm talking like a meter from my face. And I'm like, that shit's not going to fly, all right?
Just one time.
And then that night I went out to my car to bump out. And then I saw him in the pizza shop. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I hope he doesn't see me. He sees me, comes creeping out of the pizza shop going, Wonderwall. Just chanting it. I'm like, dude, look, it was cute earlier on.
That sounds like my nightmares.
But I'm not even at work now, so you're just doing it to annoy me. You're banned.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fair. Completely fair. Yeah.
So, and then a few weeks later, he crept in, like, because those security guys didn't really know what he looked like. I tried to describe him. He looked like every other white guy. And he crept in, and then I alerted security, you know, this dickhead's got to go. And that's why a part of the letter he says, please don't call me dickhead.
Yeah. I love that. It's so polite of him. Like,
yeah, so it's simultaneously
telling lies
quite
to security.
Polite and quite aggressive at the same time. It's a fascinating document.
Fascinating document.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best thing I've ever seen put on a T-shirt.
And I just joked about making a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You got, and then everyone so was backing. Just demanding, no, it must happen. So, I mean, the only reason it's not Lux Country doing it is because they don't do T-shirts. They do other forms of merch.
Okay,
that's why I threw it up on Redbubble. And it's nice and easy because you just throw the design up there and then it's just made on demand.
Yeah.
Yeah, run, don't walk to Redbubble and grab yourself an angry letter to a DJ T-shirt. Or there's lots of merch you can get. You can get Duna cover. You can get like coffee cups, whatever.
Oh, I want that on a coffee
cup. I'm just about to release it on a. I'm about to release it on a shower curtain.
Actually. Okay.
True story.
Interesting.
Anyway, you sidetracked me. That's all right. Oh yeah, Lux Country.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Wheel merch. Mm-hmm. Heaps. Heaps. It'll be going up in our online store soon. Okay, WOC.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening in the world, Caitlin?
Do you have a button that does that?
Not yet.
Wow.
There you go. I fixed it. Edited. the world of Caitlin. I've been pretty quiet lately. I'm kind of waiting for my new
That's
video
not like you.
To. Not at all. Not at all. Been waiting for my video to. to drop, and I think, yeah, maybe sort out some shows surrounding that or,
right.
Yeah, some exciting stuff. I can't
do keep me informed.
Too much go, yeah. In the meantime, I'm just catch me at open mics or just doing some handmade chapbooks at the moment, handmade poetry chapbooks. So my manuscript can see the light of day and isn't just cooped up on my laptop. Yeah, I think.
Well, that actually, so our listeners might be thinking, where can I read, hear, see more? So
at Caitlin Saunders Poet.
Great.
So that's the domain name, the handle on absolutely everything.
Great.
Just Caitlin Saunders Poet, Instagram, Facebook. Yeah, I've got a little bit on my Instagram, a little bit active on there.
Great.
Other than that, you can find live performances on my Facebook or catch me around.
Cash you outside, yeah.
Cash me outside.
sincerely, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was a wild episode. That was quite a ride.
It was.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you. It's the first time for everything.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you to Derek Myers, my producer, without whom this show and Castaway Studios would not exist. Thank you so much. Thank you to Lux Country, our aforementioned generous supporter of the show, who have just produced a whole bunch of swag that I'll be throwing down on our socials for you to check out as well. And thank you to my muses of the week. Thank you to Kim, Cameron and Jamie, without whom that poem would not exist. And thank you to all of you people listening. And thank you for just being a being.
I like that. Thank you for being a being, Sean.
Yeah. My pleasure. Whelan, out.
And Caitlin.
That awesome podcast was recorded at Castaway Studios in Collingwood. Here, we provide affordable, accessible, professional podcasting production facilities to the full range of podcasters, all the way from basic studio hire right through to full season production packages. You can get us on castawaycollingwood@gmail.com or just look up Castaway Studios on all the social medias.